I don't think I've been as happy all week as I just was when I got to show you highlights of Randolph Childress just now.
From the 1995 ACC tournament. Where have I been? That was the first time I had seen that.
I mean, to be fair, not born.
Right. No, so, wait, first I was.
You were?
Yeah.
Oh, that makes me feel a little better. Oh, yeah. I was about to be 12-year-old girl. That was, it wasn't my first ACC tournament, but it was, I really identify that ACC tournament back in Greensboro as like the tournament I fell in love with basketball.
Yeah.
And I think just from the brief moments of showing you Randolph Childress highlights, like you can see why. It's crazy. I mean, I grew up a Carolina fan. I mean, my mom went there and I was surrounded in my neighborhood literally by Wake Forest fans.
Oh.
Everywhere. Yeah. And they were so happy when they won and everything. And after the thing was over, I was telling somebody the story the other day. They had a party at their house and like my little, you know, little kid boyfriend was there. And that was when I had my first kiss. So I even associate ACC basketball with my first kiss. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was a wild night. Wild night in my cul-de-sac growing up.
No, that was very awesome. I'm very happy that you've shown me this.
And
I needed it.
Also, like, please, you've seen Randolph Childress on the sideline, yes?
Yeah.
He's coaching his son mm-hmm. as an assistant at Wake. The man has not aged.
No.
Like, it is the guys I used to watch back then, people age. Like, it's whatever. Randolph has an age. I remember like seeing Antoine Jameson not that long ago and being like, oh my God, he looks exactly the same as he did back in 1997. Now, to be fair, back in like 1997, he still looked old, but not old. Like,
right.
He looks the same. It's just crazy. And yeah, there were so many great players that were coming through the ACC around that time. And growing up in Greensboro, it was just always such a big part of my life to go to that event. It was something where we would usually get like a ticket package.
Mm-hmm.
And there was this big game of like scalping tickets from the team that just lost. That's something that you do see some in the other tournaments, but you see it so much in Greensboro because so many of like the Big Four fans are like right here.
Right.
Ready to pounce on it, you know? It's, I have such strong feelings for the Greensboro ACC tournaments and I hope that they stick around, although I'm not super confident.
Well, now it's back this year.
Yeah, it is. It's back. It's exciting. I mean, I can't wait.
This is the Topics and Takes Podcast, part of the Capital Broadcasting Podcast Network. Now, here's your host for Topics and Takes, Lauren Brownlow.
Welcome back to Topics and Takes. I'm Jasmine Fritz. That's Lauren Brownlow. So, ACC tournament.
Yeah.
Women's tournament going on now. Men's coming up.
Yeah, I wrote a seeding hypothetical. To be fair, we're recording this on a Friday, so NC State and Wake haven't played yet. And right. Georgia Tech and Clemson play tonight. But there are literally like two different like globs of teams. Well, really three. And like there's a four-way tie potentially at first. There's five different teams like a tie at 10-10. And then there's a bunch of teams that could finish with like six or seven wins. So that's fun.
What is this season?
It's a lot, man. I can't even deal with it.
So you have your 95 Greensboro ACC tournament.
Yeah.
Mine, I think my first ACC tournament was the one in Atlanta in 2012. I'm pulling it up. Was it 2012?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But then I was also around for 2011. It could have been in Greensboro.
2011, was that in Greensboro? Let me see. Let me pull it up.
2011 and 2013. I was either at both of them or...
Yeah, 2011 was in Greensboro.
Or the one in 2013. I can't remember, but I'm pretty sure it was... I think my first ACC tournament as a fan was in 2013 in Greensboro. Or the one in Greensboro was the 2013. Maybe I didn't go to the tournament in 2011.
Yeah, I guess Carolina lost to Duke. I remember what I remember from that game in the championship game was, gosh, I loved that Duke team so much. I really did.
Yeah.
That was my first year as a freelance writer.
Mm-hmm.
My second year was the one in Atlanta where I went as a freelancer and actually got a job out of that. But
nice.
Coins. Yep. Eventually. not slow coming. But that 2011 one I still remember because that was the one where, gosh, who dunked on somebody? And they called a charge. It was like Singler took the charge, but I'm trying to remember who dunked. You know what I'm talking about? And it was like a nasty dunk on him. And everybody was, even people who didn't care were like, that should not have been a charge. This is ridiculous.
Wait, this is 2013?
2011. In Greensboro.
Okay.
Yeah. That's what I remember about that championship game the most, because Duke dominated the game. Like, Nolan Smith was so good. Kyle Singler got dunked on by somebody, but they called a charge.
That's John Shire's on that team.
And... Uh-huh. Oh, okay. No. Was John Shire might have been gone by then, or was he still there? Because John Shire was on the 2010 team.
Championship. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Yeah, they had a lot of guys that you'd be like, oh yeah, when you look back at that roster, you're like, yeah, that guy was good. That was the 2011 Duke team that they were blamed.
Dexter Strickland?
Yeah,
is that
that's
the one?
Okay.
Did you see it? I'm pulling up YouTube.
It's pretty nasty. It's pretty nasty.
This should have been our podcast. ACC tournament, like highlights.
He's so mad they called a charge. People were furious. Like I said.
I just watched it. You guys have got to YouTube this.
Yeah,
it's wild. I know it doesn't help.
It was, no offense to Dexter, who I don't mean this badly towards, but that was his best moment in Carolina. You could have worse moments. Like,
right.
That was a pretty fun moment. It's pretty funny. But yeah, these have all been amazing. And what's wild to me, though, is like Duke and or Carolina being a factor in that tournament has been a thing as long as I can remember. And I wonder, I think that the stat is that Duke or Carolina has not finished outside the top three in a long, 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 long time. Mm-hmm. And that could very easily happen after this weekend. Like, that's pretty wild to me. And Carolina, there's talk about them being able to make a run or whatever. I don't know about all that.
I don't either. And I know I've had like UNC fans like hit me up and they're like, oh man, we got this. And I'm like,
how serious they are. Do you think they're serious? Maybe they are.
They sound serious.
Okay.
And like, no shade, like if you are a UNC fan and like you really feel like you're going to win this, but
good
for
you.
There's one scenario where you make it to the NCAA tournament. They're not like, okay, if this happens, this happens. You literally have to win every single game you play.
Yeah,
win the tournament.
I had somebody ask me the other day, they were like, what do you think the committee will think of the injuries? I'm like, y'all lost like six straight when he came back. So no.
Like, no.
If you'd won all those, you would have had a shot. And if you'd won some of the, like, the Boston College one at home is the worst.
Yeah.
Like, that's not to say that any of them were the one thing, but like, you can't lose six in a row with him back.
Yeah.
And expect them to be like, oh yeah, that was the injury. Like, no, you can't. That's not going to happen. Sorry. You're not getting an at-large as much as they'd probably like to have you in their event.
So I guess before we get into super heavy on what we think is going to happen with the ACC tournament and, you know, maybe anything beyond that, the coronavirus.
Yeah.
Has entered into our beloved America. And now they're saying that some games will not have fans.
Well, or could not. Yeah.
Or they might not. Like, you know, there's a game in Baltimore that's already said no fans or something like
really?
That.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know. Or the D3 championship, I think it is. They're not going to have, like, fans.
I mean, look, I can see that a little bit for that because it's not going to attract as wide of an audience.
Mm-hmm.
It's very difficult for me at this point in time to imagine the NCAA being like, yeah, we're good on all this money. We're fine. Because yes, they get a lot of money from the TV deals and whatnot, but think about all the money. Think about all that money that goes just bye-bye. It's gone.
And that's in Atlanta, where the CDC is. Not that that matters, but just saying.
Yeah, that's true. I didn't even think about that. Yeah. I know it's bad, like, in Washington State right now.
Mm-hmm.
But I think for the most part, it seems like, so far.
They've canceled games and stuff.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't think, like I said, it would be hard for me to believe.
That they're
going to
say
that.
No fans. Also, when
maybe
they
the
say
Final
no,
Four? I don't know. Maybe.
Does that extend to media members?
I don't think it does. Does it? They don't care about us. They don't care if we get sick, right?
Well, like, would they not want us there as well?
I think the idea behind it in general is you don't want 50,000 people or however many you can fit in there for a basketball game that they try to now, even though they shouldn't.
Yeah.
Already, because you can't see in these football venues anyway, but however many people they try to fit in there, I think the idea is you just don't want that many people, because I think the incubation period on this is pretty long in terms of like how long you can carry it around and not know. Whereas like the flu, I think, for instance, you would have
like 2 weeks.
It's pretty long.
Yeah.
That's a long incubation
Before
period.
You know.
Yeah. And so like you can pass it unknowingly and have it for 2 weeks. Like that's a long incubation period. Like I, for instance, hand, foot, and mouth. That's something my kids had more than once.
Wait, what is that?
Oh, God. It's this, basically, it's like a, yeah, the kitty diseases, man. They're wild. Has a kid gotten corona yet? I haven't heard about it if they have.
Not to my knowledge.
So, yeah, this might be an adults only type deal. I don't know. But I know that this is not a kitty only disease, but it's basically like you break out, you get it. The first time my kid had it, he got a fever and he was kind of irritable for like 2 days.
Yeah.
And we still didn't know. And then we get home. We had him on an airplane. Someone rocked him on the airplane with her own family. We didn't know. And then when we get home, we see he has like a rash on his hands and his feet. And he has eczema, so sometimes it's hard for us to tell what's what. But when he started getting some spots like all over the place, we were like, oh no, this is, I think we have a hand, foot, and mouth case on our hands.
I've never heard of this.
I had not until I had a kid. And then you start going down the rabbit hole of Googling stuff and you see what adults can get it, although it's harder for us to get.
Mm-hmm.
And when you see what happens to adults when they get it, like kids are just, my kid was not, he
closing
was fine.
Out of Google.
Yeah, don't look that up. My kid was fine. Like after the fever, he felt fine. Yeah. Like he just couldn't go anywhere because he had a hand, foot, and mouth. And this, you know, when you have the spots, you're contagious. Basically, they have to scab over or whatever. Mm. And yeah, so it's like a week of basically shutting down my life and his to sit at home. But even that incubation period is like, I think it's like on average like 5 days. So it can be shorter, can be longer.
Mm.
And you're most contagious when you don't know. Like when he had the fever, we didn't know what was going on.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it 14 days, I think the flu is like 5 max, for instance. 14
also,
is a lot.
Speaking of the flu, I would like to blame Wake County Public School System for failing me because I didn't really know what the flu was.
What do you mean?
So I am, and I don't know if you know you can tell in my voice, but I am a little bit sick under the weather. Apparently, I had the flu.
Okay.
So like a week ago,
I was wondering about this when I texted you today, and you're like, "I'm getting over the flu." I'm like, "What does that mean? What exactly does that mean?"
I did go to the doctor, and by doctor, I mean the CVS Minute Clinic, and she said I didn't have the flu.
That's good.
But she said that I might like it sounds like I had the flu
before. Okay.
Right. So like I thought, like fever, chills, body aches, you know, sore throat. That was like a cold.
It can be. I think the giveaway is like
how long it lasts.
Well, like my husband had the flu recently and he didn't have a fever. And that was actually throwing him off for the first few days because he was like, wait, I don't have a fever. So I think I'm okay. But he had chills and he had body aches and he slept like all the time. He slept like a newborn baby.
I slept so much.
Yeah. And so those were the things for him. I mean, he's a pharmacist. So like he was immediately like, oh, I have a flu. And I was like, at first I was like, you should go get tested. And he's like, what? So they'll tell me I have the flu and I have to pay for a test to tell me I have the flu. And I was like, yeah, good point. And when I Googled the symptoms, I was like, okay, yeah, he has the flu.
Yeah, I didn't know. And like I after like these long periods of like sleeping, I'd wake up and like around my collar would be like drenched in like sweat while I was sleeping.
Oh, my God.
And it was like, I guess the fever was like breaking and things like that.
I'll say this, like people have been comparing corona to the flu. And said like, well, the flu kills way more. Well, okay. I think it's also fair to point out that there's like a lot we don't know about corona.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of us, I mean, just judging by the fact that now we were very careful, but like neither my kid or me got the flu from my husband. We kept him in his own room, but like we didn't take any other special precautions. He wore a mask for like the first 2 days because that's when you're the most contagious.
Mm-hmm.
But that was it. And we've developed some of our own antibodies for this, you know, to the flu because it's been around a long time.
Right.
And you fight it off naturally, your body, but this is a new thing. So I think people are more susceptible to getting it. That doesn't mean that you're, you know, obviously it's more vulnerable towards like the, you know, people,
older people
with immune systems that aren't quite built up, whatever. But that also means, it doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be put out by that, but it also means you could get it. You will recover from it fine, probably, but then you might pass it to somebody, that has an immune system issue. So yeah, it's not as simple as just saying like, well, it's not as bad as the flu. Well, I mean, that doesn't.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I just didn't really know what, I guess I don't know what I thought the flu was. I thought the flu was just like.
I think I always thought it was like throwing up for a while.
I don't know. I thought like when you have the flu, like, you know, and like the doctors are like, whoa, 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 this person has the flu. I don't really know what I thought. So I apologize to everybody. I had the flu, didn't know about it. Hopefully I didn't get anybody sick, but I'm good now.
Okay. Good. No, I'm glad.
You're not nervous at all.
I'm actually. I mean, if you went to a clinic and they told you
I was good,
then like, that's good.
Yeah, all my vital signs were great. I just have a little bit of a
Stuffy. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, and I mean, like, I was gonna say, my husband like is still like has a cold, still feels stuffy.
Yeah.
It lingers around, man. It's no joke. So yeah, just because people can get the flu and like be fine, we know way more about the flu. That's kind of helpful. We don't know anything about this right now. I mean, we know some things, but there's a lot we don't know because it's pretty new.
In Italy, they're...
They've canceled lots of stuff in Italy.
Yeah, and they've moved to, I think, the no fan games for...
Yeah, they have.
Was it their soccer team or something?
For, I think, whatever the most recent big sporting event they had, they moved to that. Although, I guess it helps some that it's open air there, but who knows? I'm not a disease expert.
Yeah.
I'm not. I'm not going to play one on the radio either because I don't know. I really don't. I don't know what they'll do. Like I said, I'm not trying to be too cynical in here, although, you know. But the NCAA is so interested in money.
That you have a hard time believing that they're going to say no fans.
We'll see. I mean, we don't know. Like, we could be a week from now, things could have escalated a lot.
Yeah.
And then maybe they will have had to make that call. But
I think the state of Georgia, which is the site for Atlanta is the site for the 2020 NCAA Final Four. Men's Final Four. They have 3 cases.
We had our second one in our state today.
In Charlotte, right?
Chatham County.
Ah, so I think that's 3 then.
Oh, there was another Wake one in Charlotte? Yeah, Wake County.
There was a Charlotte one.
Oh, I missed the Charlotte one. Okay.
And then, North Carolina's up to 3.
Yeah.
I'm not worried. I'm not worried. No, I'm not freaking out.
I'm not worried except in the sense that, like, and this is, this is so dumb. It's more just like when you see what the quarantine period is, when you get it.
What is it?
Oh, you have to be, I think it's like 14 or 21 days that you have to like quarantine yourself.
I saw on social media a guy that was quarantined and he was doing an interview after they said like, oh, you're good, like you're out. And he sounded just as sick as ever.
Oh, is that the coughing guy? I saw
that. I mean, and I also like just saw that much. Like, I don't know too much more about it.
Yeah, I mean, you have to quarantine yourself for like a while. And I don't, again, the least of my worries because I have a pretty good immune system, thanks to my toddler.
Have you been to Seattle lately?
Ever? No.
Lately?
No.
I don't know.
I mean, the furthest west I've been the most recently was I was in California last summer. So I think I'm good.
Okay. Checks out.
Yeah. Yeah, so I don't know. I mean, it's a weird thing, right? Because like, what do you do and how long do you do this? H1N1, I was reading, was like a bigger outbreak.
Is that Zika?
No.
Zika's
different. H1N1 is the swine flu.
Swine flu.
Yeah.
Okay.
That one, there were some closings for that, but not a ton.
That's what I'm trying to think. Like, has a pandemic or something like this ever affected sports like in recent memory?
I don't think so. I remember with Zika, there was talk around the Olympics of like, you know, especially women who were pregnant or who, you know, didn't know if they, you know, whatever it was, athletes, like, should they go, should they do that? And I feel like wasn't it sexually transmitted, or did I make that up, or couldn't it be? I could be making that up, because I remember when I was pregnant with my kid, that was a big topic of conversation with Zika. And so we were going to take like a baby moon when I was pregnant, but my doctor was like, I wouldn't do that.
What is a baby moon?
A baby moon, just in the sense of like one more vacation that you take with your spouse without the kid having been born.
Oh,
yet.
Okay.
So we were gonna
go,
like somewhere tropical, you know, not for long, but like, you know, gonna go jet off for a few days, like have a nice beach time, whatever, relax, you know, put my feet up, whatever. But the doctor was like, yeah, you probably shouldn't do that. So we ended up going to Wilmington instead. It was still pretty cold.
I don't see anything on the CDC.gov website about H1N1 being sexually transmitted.
Not H1N1, sorry, Zika.
Oh,
was the one I wasn't sure.
Oh,
because I remember people being like, that was a concern for a variety of reasons, because of the birth defects you could potentially, that it could cause and that it could pass on.
Yes, it is.
It is? Okay, I thought so. So like, even male athletes were like, well, what if I want to try to get pregnant? What am I going to give to my wife? You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But it ended up, we've seen this sort of stir come up before, and I mean, there's talk even about the Olympics, speaking of this, that they might not cancel, but I was seeing talk of postponement.
Yeah, there was something.
Yeah, I was doing this for WRL sportsfan.com the other day, trying to get some stories together, and they said that they could still fulfill their host contract if they postponed it a couple months, if they have to.
It just wouldn't go into the next year or something.
I think so. Yeah, I think that was sort of the language or whatever it is. But, you know, they've been pretty proactive in Japan. I mean, they've got schools closed. And that's a country that you would trust to be, I mean, not to just group countries, whatever, but Japan, generally, when I think of them as a country that's capable of handling something like this appropriately.
Well, I did read an article from Sports Illustrated where they're going to start their baseball season, like they're going to play it in empty stadiums, like they're following suit with a lot of the other countries that are saying no fans.
Yeah, and I get the empty stadium thing to a degree, right? Because I think, obviously, you can't completely eliminate any chance that you come in contact with it. That's impossible.
Right.
But if you have a bunch of people in a small space, you do increase the chance that people will spread it. I mean, you do. But I don't know. They're going to make a lot of people pretty upset. Although maybe in this college basketball season, if they did it, people would just be like, eh, whatever.
Right, because this is if there was a college basketball season,
people might riot.
Yeah, if there was one that you it had to happen during,
you know,
like,
if we have to, do okay, we get our fine. Money back? Okay, cool. I mean, you know, give us our money back and we'll call it a day. It's possible. I just want to make sure we can still go. Selfishly.
I was going to say, is that selfish? Because that is exactly how I feel.
Also, I feel like that would be... No one cares, I realize that. That would be kind of a cool experience, wouldn't
it? A no-fan
because like
tournament, and it's just media people.
We would have to get all those, like... Even if we don't get the courtside media seats, like, they would have to just put us up in the bleachers.
Sit wherever you want to.
Right? Yeah, I'd sit out there with my laptop. I couldn't plug it in, but that's cool. Like, I'll just sit out there in one of those floor seats.
How do you think that'll affect the games? Because you hear a lot of times players and coaches say,
beating
you know, the fans really, you know, were there for us. They really
you
helped
think they
us.
They would pipe in crowd noise? Could they do that?
You know what? Didn't the Falcons get in trouble for that?
They did.
Do they still have the soundtrack?
Love this.
You could use it if they still have it in Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
Can we just like bring in the organist? Or something?
Yeah.
You know, like the...
Somebody.
NBA teams still have organists, right?
Yeah, there's one for Atlanta, right?
I thought so. Oh, did they...
Yeah, wait.
Yeah, because he's famous one.
Yeah.
Is he still there? Maybe if he's not doing anything. You could just swing by.
It's not over. Come on.
Just get us an atmosphere. Yeah, it would be weird. I mean, it'd be the same for everybody, I guess. So, I mean, you know, I think they'd get used to it after the first round.
And then sometimes, and you probably have experienced this as well, sometimes... Like some media members, though you're not supposed to, you will hear them in like the press box, like cheering or like making those grunts and noises.
Oh yeah, now you're going to be exposed.
Right.
Although to be fair, it's way easier to get exposed in the press box because you just look over like, who's doing that?
Right. No, I was at the Duke Alabama college football season opener 2019 season.
Oh no.
And
no.
Yeah, there were some Alabama cheers, and we're like, first off, we know. Okay.
Right.
Everybody knows what's going to happen during this game.
Yep.
And then you just still hear it. And it's like, who is that?
Sometimes I feel like they do let people in through the press box that you're like,
oh, yeah.
You turn around and you're like, oh, that's not really media.
Yeah, that happened at Cameron Indoor last year. One time they threw me up top, like at six seats all the way to the top. And then there was like cheering and clapping. And I looked to my left and it's just like regular people. They had a pass, but they weren't like covering the game.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Sorry if I'm snitching on somebody.
That's fine.
Yeah.
I mean, they were separate from most of us. If you cheered on press row, somebody would capture you on video. At some
yeah.
point. So
that'd be yeah. Yeah. So it's possible that we'll be down in Atlanta by ourselves.
Well, I probably am not going to Atlanta if Duke's not there.
Yeah.
Well, I'm definitely not. That's also me.
Well,
assuming.
Just like media would be there.
Right. That's true. Gosh, I wonder. I don't know. I was going to say, I wonder if I can like make that the reason to go, but probably not. It's been a while since I did a Final Four. I've only done one. I would like to do another.
Yeah.
Soon. So Duke, hello.
Well, I went last
year. Please get my memo.
I went last year only because like it was something to experience.
Oh, absolutely.
And I'd never like, you know, so I still like covered it, but it wasn't like super important for our audience.
Sure.
Because, you know.
Duke wasn't in it.
Right.
Or Carolina
yeah. for that matter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it was it's really fun to do. It's something that everybody should do at least once if they can in media or even as a fan. Really,
yeah.
I mean, if you can go to one, it's definitely it's way different than you think. Like, it's not like going to a first round game. It's not like going to your average basketball game. It's a whole different experience.
All right, so before we wrap up with ACC tournament just around the corner, let's speculate and figure out what's going to happen. And
man, if only I knew. Would that I knew.
So you talked about it earlier, the games that we have tonight, NC State and Wake Forest, and that's at PNC. Obviously, for any NCAA hopes that NC State has, they have to win this game and do well in the tournament. Would you agree?
Oh, yeah. I have to win this game. 100%.
Absolutely. And,
there's no negotiation there. Like, if they lose this game, they'll have to win the ACC tournament, I think, to get in.
Like, that would be their way in, is the automatic bid.
It's weird because, like, seeing the seeding discussion play out on Twitter, I was sort of trying to figure out a way to get them the 5 seed, which is still possible.
Yeah.
They need Syracuse to lose at Miami, which I don't think is super likely, but it could happen. This season is wild. But I had so many State fans saying, like, we don't care where we are. We just don't want to play Carolina. And, like, I don't know. If it were 2 weeks ago, I would have laughed. But I get it. I do. I get it. Like, I get it.
So you do feel like Carolina is a problem.
So on multiple fronts, right? So, like, okay, let's say they get the 5 or the 6 or something. I think it's the 6 where they would play Carolina, assuming Carolina gets the 14 spot, which is very likely at this point. Like, honestly, even if they win at Duke, it's very likely they still end up there because they would lose a big tiebreaker with all of those teams there. Assuming we don't know who's going to win or lose. So that kind of depends on that. But yeah, like, it's very likely they're still in last place. The highest they can get is 11, but they need a lot of things to happen.
Right.
I did a piece for WRLSportsFan.com today. So break some of this down. I actually plugged stuff into a seeding generator. So that helped. But then I checked the math just to make sure. But yeah, they don't want them, and I get it. Because, like, here's the thing. Let's say State gets the 8-9. The 9 right now is almost certainly Boston College. I as much as we can hot take what State's done all year, I don't think State's going to have a problem with Boston College in Greensboro. I just don't. I think they'll beat them.
Yeah.
And then they get the 1 seed. And I don't know who the 1 seed's going to be. But let's say it's Florida State. It's almost certainly going to be Florida State at this point.
They're probably, I mean, it's a walk in the park to beat Boston College. That wins their game.
What?
Boston College and Florida State play
Saturday.
Saturday. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'm not worried about, again. Like, Florida State's probably going to win, whatever. And then, so NC State would get Boston College in the 9 game as the 8. And then they get a shot at the 1 seed. To me, that's the ideal scenario. They get no credit for beating either whoever it is, if it's Carolina or if it's Boston College. You're not going to get credit for that. But I think, especially if it's Florida State, they get a chance against a team that I like Florida State a lot. I think Florida State's really good. Mm-hmm. But against a team that I think that they are capable of beating, I think teams they don't want to see, I don't think they want to see Duke again. I don't think they want to see Louisville again. I think they'd probably want to see Virginia or Florida State because those are more defensive-driven teams. And
they have beaten Virginia.
They have. But also, because of Virginia's slow start to the season, I think beating them would not get them as much as beating a Florida State would,
that's true, for instance.
Yeah. So, like, that's where sort of the math gets complicated. But if you're in the 8-9, Florida State's probably going to be the 1. I think that's probably the best place for State to be because then that gives you a chance. You knock off Florida State, and you're good.
Yeah.
You're good to go. If you don't and you play them close, you know, maybe you at least leave yourself in the conversation. But if you play Carolina in round 1 and lose...
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Or, okay, let's say you play Carolina or whoever in round 1, and you win, and then you play Virginia, who's still, like, in the 40s-ish in net, and you lose.
And what team is that?
Virginia.
Okay.
Like, Virginia, I think, is still in the 40s in net, around there, give or take. And you lose? That's not, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think maybe you get a little more credit if you lose a close one against a Florida State, or even a Duke, both of which are high in net, than you do... and Louisville, too, but I don't know that I like State matching up with Louisville very much, than you do if you beat Virginia right now. Like, we all would look at that and go, or if you lose to Virginia. You know what I mean? I think people would be like, oh, you played Virginia close, or you played Florida State close, you played Louisville close, you played Duke close, great, whatever. Like, that's fine. That's not a knock on you.
Mm-hmm.
Although I do almost think if they lost to Duke again, it would almost, like, nullify their first win. I don't know. I'm overthinking, but, like... You get what I'm saying,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They could avenge 2 of their losses if they played a Louisville or a Florida State and get a really good net win in the process.
Yeah.
And I think that would lock it up.
Yeah, there would be no conversation. Okay, Duke. Because they've had their tail end of their season has left a lot of people thinking, like, what is going on with this team?
Yeah, they could be anywhere from 2 to 4 at this point. I tried to run a scenario that got them in the 1. I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
I don't think it's possible anyway because they lose so many tiebreakers with the other teams. The only team they have a tiebreaker against is Florida State. Mm-hmm. And obviously Virginia has, or Louisville has one fewer loss anyway. So even if Louisville lost, yep. like, yeah. So yeah, I think, I don't know. I mean, I don't know which Duke team we're going to get. Are they capable of winning the whole thing? Yeah, absolutely they are. Will they? I don't know. I mean, your guess is as good as mine. I think, I wish I had a better sense on what, like, because sometimes this is informative to me, although I've been wrong before, about, like, what Kay is going to prioritize. Like, for instance, last year, I did not think they would win the ACC tournament.
Yeah.
Because I assumed that he would kind of put, especially Zion,
since
on
he
ice.
Was dealing, yeah, he was hurt. He came back
for the Syracuse game.
Syracuse, that's
their
right.
first game of the tournament. And I thought he would take it easy with those guys. They weren't super deep. And certainly with Zion. In hindsight, I'm glad he didn't because he got us that Duke Carolina
right.
amazing basketball game, which was so awesome to watch.
And that was my first one in person because last year I didn't
really?
Go to the regular season games.
Oh.
No, the ACC tournament.
That's a great
matchup,
first one.
Right?
Yeah.
I was hyped.
That was an amazing. I just, every part of that game was so awesome. I really
yeah.
enjoyed it. And that's why when people throw out this last one is like, oh, this was a classic. I'm like, the ending was entertaining, but like, trust, no, the level
yeah.
of play was so much higher in that one. It was great. But yeah, I actually, that was my take, was like, Duke's probably going to lose early in this or whatever, and that would be that. And that's not what happened. I mean, I think they just sort of got going, and yeah, they get going, they get on a hot one a little bit, they get feeling themselves, and I think sometimes Kay's like, let's keep this going, but, you know, we'll see. I don't know, it's hard to know. It's not as if, like, that makes it sound like Duke's not trying when they lose. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, like,
it's just like they can get, like, they can let it. They can let a team overpower them when they don't necessarily
right.
have to.
The regular season is the long game for Kay, and I think we've seen that recently.
Yeah.
But the balancing act he's trying to pull, and I think we even saw this in some of the post-game comments he was making the other night, is like, okay, it's fine to lose some games in the regular season, but at the same time, if it's going to cost us a seed line, like, okay, that's not what we want.
Right.
And so I think that factors in, too. How much does he feel like they have to win it to get a to be even in the conversation for a one, and I think that they do. So that'll be interesting to me too, is what they have to do to get a one. I mean, I don't know that anybody from the ACC is going to end up getting a one.
I don't think so.
I think Duke has the best case if they can win the ACC tournament, but even that, I mean, yeah, we'll see.
And then just for the triangle, round it out with Carolina once more. So obviously, they have to win every game.
No. It's a no.
These guys are playing with a lot of confidence.
Sure.
You know, they've maintained that, you know, the season is not over for them, Coach K. Roy, at the end of senior day, says we are not finished. The players in the locker room echoed those same sentiments, and they came with it. Cole Anthony.
I saw that.
I think Carolina Blitz was the one who posted this video where he's just like all in, like.
I heard the audio the other day when I was on.
Do you believe it?
So I was with Cole until he was like, I think with the way we're playing right now, we're a top 10 team in the country. I was like, easy, my man. Okay. That was a piece
was
of
like,
audio they played for me. I was like,
I was like, Cole.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
Like, he was like, we're playing really well. Like, we're starting to come together. I'm like, okay.
You guys won three straight, and you won handedly on the road against Syracuse.
Yeah. Right. You have not beaten,
right.
as of right now, an NCAA tournament team, even much less, you know. We know what they're capable of. You know, the really interesting thing for me is I think we've seen them embrace the small ball lineup.
Yeah.
And so it's like, how will they stick with that, even though they don't rebound as well out of it, they don't defend as well out of it, just for the sake of scoring points?
Yeah.
They might have to.
So, do they win at least one game in Greensboro?
Mm-hmm. I think they win one game for sure. For sure.
Two games.
I'd have to see the bracket. I mean, like, I'm not trying to do a cop-out.
It depends on who.
It really does for me, you know?
Okay. No,
I mean,
that's fair.
It's.
I just want to, you know, let's hash it out a little bit.
So, like, they'd play the low seed in round one, right? So, they'd get, like, a 6-7. They get a 5-6-7-8 in round. No, they get a 5-6-7. Yeah.
In the next game.
In the Wednesday game. Yeah. They could be one of those teams.
They
should root for Syracuse to get like whatever is the one opposite them, because
yeah.
they love seeing that zone for whatever reason.
And shout out Jim Boeheim. Wasn't he the one who said there's no value playing in Greensboro?
Yeah. He did say that. He sure did.
Well, I'll be taking some trips. Like I'll drive down for the Tuesday game, drive out on Wednesday, and then I'll stay afterwards throughout the end of the tournament.
I'll be calling. I don't know which game yet. I think I'm calling whatever game Caroline is not in on Tuesday. I'll be the color analyst for that.
Ooh.
Yeah, just because I think Adam Gold's going to do color on one, and he feels more comfortable doing a team he knows a little bit better, yeah, which is fine. And then Wednesday, I don't know yet either. We'll see, but I'll do one each day. I'm looking forward to it. I always love that.
Ooh. All right. Well, that means that that's the end of this episode, and then we're going to take a break from the tournament.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Neither of us will be around for that.
Yeah.
So...
I'm excited.
I am
ACC
too.
ACC tournament back in Greensboro.
This time of year is always really fun.
It's the best time of the year.
It really is.
What's the Christmas? It's the most wonderful time
of the
year.
The most wonderful time of the year.
This is the most wonderful time of the year.
Yeah, this is Sports Writer Christmas.
See ya.
You've been listening to the Topics and Takes podcast with host Lauren Brownlow. Don't forget, there are many ways you can listen to this podcast, including streaming at WRALSportsFan.com, the WRAL SportsFan app, and you can also subscribe for free at Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Pocket Casts, and TuneIn. Thanks again for listening to the Topics and Takes podcast.